Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. By the way, we got business inventory numbers came out, up 0.6% for the month of December. That closes out the fourth quarter of last year. Up 0.6%, that's a pretty good number. That is above expectations. This is a number that has an impact. I don't want to make it sound like it has a huge, huge impact, but nonetheless is a factor when calculating GDP growth for the fourth quarter. So this should give some relief that fourth quarter of last year could come in a little bit, it's going to be okay. How about we say that? It's going to be okay as far as GDP growth goes for fourth quarter. And this is good news considering we are expecting first quarter this year to be down, which it's going to be. I would be shocked. At this point, I would be shocked to see first quarter GDP above 2%, or even have a two handle on it at all. It's looking like 1.7, 1.6, somewhere in that neighborhood. But first quarters traditionally don't tell the story of the year. But nonetheless, we've had government shutdown. We still don't have a trade deal yet. We're not going to have a trade deal in all likelihood until maybe the end of March. That's what they're saying now, the end of March before we have a trade deal. So I don't know. So we'll watch all that very, very closely, and we'll see what happens. But that's what we're looking at right now. Here's what's amazing as we go on. The Dow is down 20 points. It was down 200 points at the open. So if the Boeing is getting clobbered, now it is recovering a bit right now, but for the most part, Boeing is getting clobbered. And the Boeing stock is a very heavily weighted stock. Remember, the Dow's only got 30 stocks in it. So in one stock, particularly one that is a heavier weight in the index than most, is down significantly. Like I said, the Dow was down 200 points as a result. It's only down 19 right now. And it's not, so if Boeing is recovering a little bit compared to its lows. It is off its lows for the day, yes. But what I'm getting at here is the other 29 stocks in the Dow must be holding their own pretty well. And that's a good sign. The S&P is up almost 0.75%. That's a significant move. The NASDAQ's up over 1%. That's a very good move. And I would suspect that most of the Dow components, with the exception of Boeing, must be up fairly strong as well. So this primarily, maybe it's got a lot to do with, number one, retail sales numbers were up 1.1%. So that was for the month of January. So that was a very good number. This is ex autos. Autos still struggling, but that's ex autos. So that should be some relief for retail sales. That might be one reason. Then we've got fourth quarter inventory numbers, business inventories up 0.6%, also beating expectations. So, all of this is fairly good news, and one of the reasons. So the Dow's down, is off its lows, but nonetheless, it is kind of going by way of which Boeing is going. Boeing, of course, dealing with a just a tragedy crash in Ethiopia. 157 people killed. I think 7 or 8 of them were Americans, but 157 lives lost. It took off and immediately crashed, similar to the last 737 MAX 8 jetliner. So they did recover the black box. They are trying to get information and will probably by the end of the day have a pretty good feel for it. Whether we will or not, it's another story, but I suspect they will, and we'll probably see a press release on that maybe by the end of the week. The airliners here in America are not grounding the MAX 8. The largest flyer of MAX 8s is Southwest. They've already said they have complete confidence. They feel very good about the safety of the plane. They are not giving anybody any kind of credits because you don't want to fly on it or whatever. So they have full confidence in it. United Airlines, they fly a few. They say they will try to help make different arrangements for people that don't want to fly on it. But, you know, they're going to do their best as well. So none of those being grounded. Other places in the country, it is being grounded. We have our Ag Report coming up. We're going to get to phones after this, 844-707-5533. Here's Craig Haugert with our Ag Report. We'll be back right after Craig with more financial issues.
This is Craig Haugert with your financial issues ag update. Well, the corn market ended up slightly lower on Monday. The major news of the day came from the March USDA supply and demand report, which raised the size of the 2018-19 carryout by 100 million bushels. They reduced exports by 75 million bushels. Ethanol use was reduced by 25 million, as was the food and seed category. Support continues to come from a weather outlook that's iffy for early to normal seedings this spring, and of course that could ultimately result in reduced planted acres. As I record this, the overnight spot trade corn futures are a penny higher. The soybean market traded lower on the perception of problems in the U.S.-China trade talks and ample supplies of soybeans. The USDA report increased crush demand by 10 million bushels, which resulted in the 2018-19 ending stocks being projected at 900 million bushels, which is still more than we need. I found it interesting that exports were not lowered after the absence of China in our export market. It's hard to imagine that all the other world players can make up the difference and allow the U.S. to hit the USDA's annual export projection. I'll still not be surprised if the actual carryout ends up being in excess of a billion bushels. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading unchanged. Wheat prices finished the week with winter wheat a bit stronger, while Minneapolis spring wheat was lower for the day. Friday brought us a combination of bargain buying, technical buying, and short covering after the recent losses that pushed wheat down to contract lows. Friday's USDA report reduced all wheat exports by 35 million bushels, down to 955 million. With only 2.5 months left in the 2018-19 marketing year, most traders saw this coming. Hard red winter wheat exports were left unchanged at 320 million bushels, while spring wheat exports were reduced by 25 million. Looking at the stocks use class, we see that hard red winter wheat is at 65.6%, dark northern spring is at 51.5%, and soft red winter wheat is at 48.8%. Still ample supplies and big numbers in all categories. In the overnight trade, Chicago is down 0.5 cents, while Kansas City is trading a penny lower and Minneapolis is trading down 4 cents. Cotton futures closed in positive territory with the May futures up 38 points to close at 73.49. In the overnight trade, we see a continuation of that with May futures up an additional 24 points. Livestock futures were higher straight across the board on Friday. For the day, April live cattle were 72.5 cents higher, while April feeder cattle closed a buck 70 higher for the session. The January cattle on feed report, which was out on Friday, showed that cattle on feed on February 1st were at 100.4% of last year. That's the lowest year-over-year increase in 23 months. January placements came in at 94.7%, which is the lowest since 2016, while January marketings at 102.8% was the highest in 16 years. April lean hogs had an excellent day as they closed up $2.825 for the session. Class 3 milk futures ended last week on a down note, with April futures 18 points lower to settle at 1480. In the overnight trade, they're down an additional 2 points as I record this. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 9 cents higher at 226.13, while selects were up 24 cents to settle at 218.78. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 79 cents higher for the day as they settle at $65.04. Well, this has been Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you can do that, 844-707-5533. Let's see. Let me go to... Who's on deck here? Melissa. Melissa from South Carolina. Hey, Melissa.
Hi, Dan. It's Melissa.
Yes.
I love you, but I get so confused.
That's okay.
All right. Earlier in the year, you said if you're not going to get in, if you don't do it now, you're not going to do it. And so I jumped in not realizing that you meant, when you say maintain your cash position, you meant in what you're going to invest. So I thought that meant my savings also. So I got in big time. But it was a blessing because everything I bought turned out to be great because of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
I've listed. All right. So I'm back up based on what you're telling me now. I need to get my cash back up. So I'm up to about 15%.
Okay.
And I've got these three stocks that I mentioned to you. And your conference call, you just said, you might want to take profits or get out altogether.
Okay.
So on those three stocks, I've taken profits, but I really hated to sell because I love those stocks. So what I'm asking is, should I be getting out of those altogether because I'm way up, or should I just hold on to those stocks?
Well, I mean, you always, if you're a long-term investor, which I assume you are.
I am.
You know, I could see getting out of the first one there, TE29. I think you ought to get out of that. If you're up in that, I would sell it. But the other two, I wouldn't move.
All right. Can I ask about my TSP?
Sure.
All right. I have lowered my cash position in that based on your allocation model.
Okay.
There's so many other things going on. My husband has an account and another account here and there, whatever. And so I realized that you say if you're going to hold cash in any account, the TSP would be where to put it, in that G fund.
Correct.
So I'm thinking maybe now that things are up, should I start adjusting that? Not to match your asset allocation model because of all the other things that I have out there. That's where I need my cash.
Yeah, so what is your TSP look like now in the G fund? What percentage?
I'm just guessing about, I'm thinking about 20% based on what you said earlier.
And how far are you from retirement?
I'm probably about 7 years out.
Yeah. I mean,
But I'm not counting on that. You know, with pension and Social Security.
Sure. And how about... So what else do you have? The C fund, the S fund?
Yep. I'm not looking at them, but I've got them the way you said, for 45 to 55.
Yeah, I would just leave it alone. I wouldn't mess with the TSP. I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't change anything.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay,
for
great.
Sure.
All right, Dan. I appreciate it.
All right, Melissa, thank you. Glad you called.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Let me go to Dave. Dave calling us from Oklahoma. Hey, Dave.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, Dave. Thanks.
Hey, I've just joined up with you in January, so
great.
Learning your style here.
Thank you.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Also, I have two questions.
Okay.
One of them is you have the asset allocation set up. I'm 55-65.
Okay.
And I have placed a number of investments in those assets allocations. But then I scroll down, then I see a different percentages in the Timothy funds compared to when you have the stock funds, and there's a little, I'm a little confused there.
So the Timothy Fund asset allocation model is only if you're using Timothy mutual funds for your whole asset allocation model.
So
that's for people that just want to do mutual funds and not do anything else.
I see.
Yeah.
Very good. Second question.
Okay.
I do not know what a RIT is.
So a real estate, it stands for Real Estate Investment Trust, and they are listed under financials. So you'll see financials-REITs, which means most, they're for income, and they're a real estate investment trust, meaning that the company is investing or not investing, owns properties like hospitals, prisons, malls, shopping centers, multifamily housing, those kinds of things. And they produce, they're designed to give you income. That's what they're mostly designed for.
Very good.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's it. I appreciate
good.
It. I've been with you since January, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, I'm glad, Dave, and I'm glad you're asking the questions. Hang in there, man. Things will get easier and a little bit more understandable as you go, and I'm glad you called and asked those questions because those questions are always edifying to a whole lot of people. It's not just you that has those same questions, so it's great when you do that. So thank you.
Thanks so very much.
All right. I appreciate your partnership. God bless. Let me go to Mary. Mary's calling us from Texas. Hey, Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I listen to your commentaries. I'm in my 70s, and I'm not an investor, but I enjoy your program.
Well, thank you.
I know our government has, the federal government, bailed out corporations before, but I understand New York is going broke. And I always wondered, do they bail out states?
Well, they probably would. New York is broke, so is California for all practical purposes. But I don't think they should be bailed out by the federal government. I don't know if I want to bail out New York any more than I'd want to bail out GM. I don't think we ought to pay for failed systems of managements while they've allowed themselves to get dig deeper and deeper in the hole. I think it creates a moral hazard. I don't think we should bail them out. Will we? I don't know. I suspect that we will have to step in and do certain things. I'm not sure. But, you know, what states do, they do what the government does. States have a situation where they have their own printing press for money. And it's called corporate bonds. So they issue municipal bonds and bonds that will give them money. So in other words, they start selling their debt to other people around the country that want to get the return. The problem will be, if it isn't right this moment, it will be someday, with states like Illinois and California and New York and a few other states where they can't afford to pay the interest. Now, that's already started to happen with some states, and they issue more bonds to pay the interest that they can't pay on the old bonds, and then they will issue more bonds later down the road to pay that interest. I mean, it gets to be a vicious circle. The difference is, at some point in time, they won't be able to do it anymore, and they're going to have to stop and declare bankruptcy. We have seen cities throughout the country over the last 50 years declare bankruptcy, and you know that could that could very easily happen with the state of New York.
Well, I couldn't understand how our government can bail out them when our government is in debt too.
Exactly. And we are in terrible debt. We can't afford to bail anybody out. We can't afford to bail out corporations. We can't afford to bail out states. We've got our own problems, and there's nobody to bail us out other than dependent upon China and other Japan and other countries to buy our debt. Like the state of New York might depend on individuals and companies to buy their debt. So, it's scary and something that we need to be concerned about, Mary.
Well, I know they don't teach economics anymore in school.
Well, if they do, I don't know what kind of economics they're teaching, but it isn't what ought to be taught. And unfortunately, you know, they think the economics of socialism is going to work, and the only difference between socialism and what we have in America is socialism is proved over and over and over and over again to be a failed system. And capitalism is the only thing that's ever been successful. So I don't understand why we would go to that side. I guess I understand it. Actually, I do. I just don't want to call them out on it, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, it's not going to work, and that's what they teach.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Mary. Thank you for listening. I sure appreciate it.
God bless, Bob.
God bless you. Thank you. 844-707-5533. We've got lines open. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, it's a good time to do it. I'll remind you again about our retreat. Got to keep doing it. Yvonne will be on me if I don't. I sure hope you're going to register. You better do it by the end of this week. We'll see if, you know, if enough people don't, then we'll say that next week. But we're trying to get it done. It would be a blessing to us to get it behind us. So hopefully you're not procrastinating. If you think you're coming, it's only a few weeks away, the end of this month. We hope that you have registered, because it will be shut down and we won't be able to. So please, folks, if you're thinking about it, you won't regret it. Check it out. It's on our website, front page. Just click on it and get information about it. And we hope you will come out and join the Financial Issues family. Be renewed in your spirit. God is able. That is the, I am going to be speaking. I'm going to talk about a few things that are critically important to us and our stewardship. But for the most part, we're going to be in God's word and worship and enjoying our family, our Financial Issues family. So hopefully you will be there. We'll have a great time. You don't want to miss it, and you will be so glad you didn't miss it if you register. So whether you're staying at their hotel or not, doesn't matter. You need to register. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, our lines are open. This would be a good time to do it. I also want to remind you of something that I just talked about in the first hour. For the first time, you've been hearing a spot we've been running because I'm so I'm so in love with this movie, but more importantly, what this organization is putting out, and it's called Patterns of Evidence. And this first one out is Moses. And apparently there's been for many, many years, 50 years or so, this theory that Moses did not write the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. That Moses didn't write the whole thing. And this examines the evidence that Moses, in fact, did write the first five books of the Bible. And it's called Patterns of Evidence. And patternsofevidence.com, you will see that there's a bunch of these series coming out. Now, Norman Geisler, one of the greatest apologetists in the world, is behind some of this. He's written hundreds of books and papers. It's amazing what he has done. And when I knew that he was behind this, I started looking at it. So I had a chance to see the film. It is amazing. And you can buy tickets now to see it. The tickets are only available the 14th, the 16th, and the 19th. So on Tuesday, Saturday, and Thursday, Saturday, and Tuesday next week are the only times you can see this film. So Thursday, Saturday, and Tuesday next week. So I want you to go and get these tickets. You can check at the Regal Theaters at and wherever you buy your movie tickets, but you can go to patternsofevidence.com to see that. Here's a trailer, just a little one-minute trailer. Let me just play this for you. You can see it if you're watching. If not, you will hear it. It is an amazing, amazing movie. Go ahead, Ian.
Moses had written down all the instructions from God as well as the history of his people.
If you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So there it looks like you have a definitive statement from Jesus that Moses produced the Torah, and he's staking an awful lot on that reality.
The question of Moses' ability to write the first books of the Bible led me to the ancient lands of the Middle East, searching for patterns of evidence that match the biblical events.
Did Moses write the Torah? Frankly, I don't think so.
I think it comes from Moses himself.
The words that they wrote, many of them can be deciphered. Those are Semitic words.
I can read it. This etching, this inscription, is actual, plain biblical Hebrew.
It is really an amazing movie that gives us some insights into the evidence. We know, we take it by faith. We know, of course, that it is real, that it is true, and we take that on faith. But as you prepare and you share the gospel, you need to see this so that you can point people to the evidence. It is an amazing, I can't wait for the next one. So there's a series coming out, and this is examining the Moses controversy. The Moses controversy. Did Moses write the Pentateuch? Is there evidence? And there is evidence, and it's going to point that out. Patternsofevidence.com. If you want to get more information, patternsofevidence.com, or you can buy your tickets now there or at the theaters. It is going to be shown in theaters on March 14th. That's this Thursday, this Saturday, the 16th, and Tuesday, the 19th, next Tuesday. So I hope you'll check it out. And you can go to patternsofevidence.com to purchase the tickets for selected theaters. And hopefully there's a selected theater near you. I suspect there is. All right, 844-707-5533. It is amazing. It's so exciting for me to realize that we are here to use our megaphone that God has raised up so that we might continue to do God's work throughout the kingdom, not just helping you with your financial stewardship, but helping you in so many other ways. And we're so excited about what has transpired here with the ministry as God continues to use us for so many things. We talk about preborn every week, and we talk about preborn and how important it is, $140 to save the lives of babies. We hope that you're doing that. We know so many people that are doing that on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, Dan and Valerie Steiner, preborn, will be at our retreat, and you'll have a chance to meet them and talk with them. We're excited. Dan and Valerie have come to our retreat, and they're coming again this year, so we're excited. I'll try to get Dan to say a few words, but you will meet Dan and Valerie when you come to the retreat. We're looking forward to them being there. All right, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Ken. Ken's calling us from Florida. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
First time calling.
Oh,
I've been
great.
Listening.
Welcome.
Really interesting, and I got a question. I'm about 63 and got about $200,000 in a 401k, fixing to get into the retirement mode, and I don't have any other type of pensions coming in except Social Security. So I'm thinking about taking it around 63. And I don't want to be in the market no more. It's too up and down, up and down. Anything could happen right now. Mm-hmm. And so we're very conservative. I'm a conservative Christian anyhow.
Right.
But I'm conservative with my money. Yeah. And I don't want to lose it. I'm then looking at these annuities that sometimes you get a sign-on bonus at 22%, some at 18%. And there's different types out there. I won't use any names.
Yeah.
But when and you can get into the market like maybe the Russells or the S&P, you know, and they'll give you a little bit. But let's say if the market took a downturn like it did in October, you would flatline. You would lose nothing. And when you each year goes by, you could take 10% of that dividend, or not dividends, but 10% without a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Well, I don't like them because they're not sold properly. They're not what you perceive them to be. I'll give you an example. If you went to any one of those companies and you said, I'm going to put $200,000 in this, will you guarantee that next year I'll have $2,000 again, or I'll have $2,000 plus any interest I might have earned as the minimum interest that you provide even during a down market or even if it's flatline? Will you put that in writing? They won't put it in writing because it's not a guarantee. And you won't see that until you read the very, 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 very fine print of the contract when you receive it. And, you know, they say, well, you didn't lose anything. It's the fees that came out, and that's why it's down or whatever. Look, it isn't what it's perceived to be. And I never in a million years for anybody retiring recommend that they tie their money up so that they can't get it without surrender charges. That's the other issue I have. Yes, you get 10%. That's fine if you only need 10%. If something happens, you need more than that, you're not going to be able to get it. If you don't like it because it isn't the way you perceived it to be, you're stuck. And there's nothing you can do about it. Either that or take the surrender charge. So, and if you do that, then you end up in a situation that is going to be less money. And here's the problem. Now you've got less money. Let's say 5 years from now, you can't take it anymore and you've got less money and you get out. Now you've got $190,000. Well, you'd have done better sitting in a money market collecting practically nothing in interest. You would have done better. At least you'd still have your $200,000 and maybe another couple hundred dollars in interest over the years. So, I would just, if you're that conservative, don't believe for a minute that there's not risk there. It is. And, the only thing I can tell you is ask them to put it in writing. If they do, not the agent, I'm talking about the company, whoever the underlying company, life insurance company is. If they do put it in writing, then absolutely do it. If they don't, it's because they will come up with a zillion reasons why they can't. But to trust me, the only reason they don't put it in writing is because they're not allowed to, because it's not legal through the compliance and the state insurance commission, because you can only put in writing what is true, and that is not true. So I would just use that as a test. They put it in writing, that's fine, do it. So I just would be, you know, they'll say, well, you can read the contract 30 days after you do it. Why not read the contract now before you even do it? They're banking on the fact that you won't read it in 30 days, because the hardest part is you writing the check or moving the money. Once that's done, the chances of you reading the contract is done, because the hardest part for you is over. So I'd be very, very careful. If I were you, I'd be looking at 2.5-year CDs, 2-year CDs, maybe 18-month CDs. I would have your money rolling into those CDs, maybe a fourth if you want to do a 12-month CD, and be rolling them over into a 2.5-year CD every time one comes due. Collect your 2.5, maybe 3% in time, and preserve your principal if you're really that conservative. And I think that'd be a better strategy for you. Thanks, Ken. I got to run. Folks, we'll be right back after this, 844-707-5533.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, our lines are open. We apologize if you're listening. Hopefully you switched over to our website at financialissues.org to watch the program. We have not been streaming on Facebook. We apologize for that. So we don't have any questions there on Facebook. So we have a bit of a technical difficulty. So we'll get work. We're continuing to working on that. So we have it for tomorrow. But anyway, cue your question up, 844-707-5533. Now is a good time to do it. As we look at the indices, everything's positive. I mean, it's really kind of hard to believe that it is even possible for the indices to be up. You know, we have got this. Boeing's gotten clobbered. Boeing is a significant weighting in the Dow, and that's why the Dow has gone down. Now, Boeing has recovered. It's about up to 390 again, but it opened at 371, went down to 365, and, you know, now it's back up to, you know, 390, give or take. So that has helped, certainly, as, you know, people that probably most traders that own Boeing using this as a buying opportunity. But it is amazing that the Dow is up right now. So that can only mean that all the other 29 stocks in the index must be doing pretty good. We've got the NASDAQ up 1.3%. That is amazing. Technology stocks doing very well. We've got the S&P up 1%. That's also significant increase up. And now we've got the Dow up a little bit. It's up about 0.8%. But nonetheless, we are seeing the indices make, or at least the Dow, make this very drastic swing to positive territory. It's hard to believe based on what we have seen, you know, over the day. And it's got to be good for tomorrow if we could end on a positive note, because obviously it means that, again, the other 29 stocks are doing pretty well. So we'll watch that. We'll see how it shakes out. By the way, our lines are open, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. And when we look at any other data, we got some positive data coming out on retail sales. Retail sales were up 1.1% ex autos. So that was a very good number, as we see that ex auto, that retail sales number start to recover a little bit. I still say that the retail sales numbers that we got out for December were way, way off. And we're starting to see some of that recovery happening right now. We also got business inventories for the end of the third quarter for the month of December up 0.6%. That beat expectations. That bodes well for saying, hey, it looks like we could have some pretty decent GDP numbers, because that's going to have a direct impact on GDP. All right, let me go to Rick. Rick's calling us from Georgia. Hey, Rick.
Dan, how are you doing? It's Rick.
Yes, good morning.
I have a question. You were talking about taking profits, and we're partners, and we've got three. One of them is a foundational stock, and they're up between 10.5% to 21%. Mm-hmm. One of them is CS46, mm-hmm. E43, and I know that's a foundational. And then I got HC47. Now we're up 21% on it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about just letting them ride, or should we?
Well, look, if you still have a very much of a long-term outlook, uh-huh. and you are going to be okay. So the three stocks that you mentioned, me personally, would I take profits on them? No, I probably wouldn't even. I wouldn't even look at them, tell you the truth.
Okay.
I haven't
good.
Even looked at. I have no idea. I didn't know till you just told me that they were up that much. But I would say that It's totally up to you. I mean, I put that call on taking profits because I'm worried about the people that are worried about it going down, that don't have that perspective of, well, you know, is it going to come back up? But when it comes screaming down, boy, I was up 21%, now I'm down 10, you know, and are going to be worried about that. You can never, ever, ever go wrong by taking profits. Never a bad thing. You can't go wrong. The only place that it does impact, if it does continue to ride up, you'll wish you still had them. But other than that, you can't go wrong. If you take your profit, that means you put it in your pocket. And that's always a good thing. So if you're nearing retirement or you want to just capture those profits, I wouldn't have a problem with you taking them, but I certainly wouldn't have a problem with you keeping letting it ride.
She's in the 45 to 55 asset model allocation, and she's probably going to work for several more years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't mind letting them ride. And like I said, I know one of them's a foundational, and
you
just forget about it.
Right. Yeah, forget about that for sure. Yeah, I mean, I would just hang in there. You know, if it gets to the point where it gets over, you know, really significant increase, I mean, these are significant increases, but it gets to the point where they're really, really starting to fly through the roof and 50%, 40%, then you start to think I ought to just sell out of the position altogether and maybe buy them back as soon as they take a dip. But, you know, I would just watch it closely and see what you think. Yep.
All right. Perfect. That's a great answer. I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks for your ministry.
Thanks for your partnership. I appreciate it. Let me go to Dee. Dee's calling us from Florida. Hey, Dee.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wondered, as a 76-year-old widow who has no debt, and I have my own little place, very modest little place, should I leave my money with a financial advisor, or should I pull some of it out and put it in CDs? And how do you know how much you can pull out that it's not going to affect your taxes? That I live on Social Security, pull out enough to pay my insurances, and don't know what.
Do you use this money to supplement your income at all?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that there's a reason for you to have any of it invested in the market. I mean, if you want to preserve it, if you're going to lose sleep, if it drops down significantly, I don't know where it is. Is it in an IRA or is it just an investment?
Well, yeah, part of it, very little is in an IRA. It's just investments, the way he's chosen to invest it. He's somebody that other people in my family have a lot of confidence in. He's like a fine Christian man. It's not him I'm worried about. And I don't lose sleep over it. I just want to know, how do you get it out without ending up with a tremendous, you know, even if you want to put it in CDs, how do you get it out of the market without ending up paying a humongous tax?
There is no tax consequence. The only tax consequence is going to be on the IRA, because if you withdraw it, which I wouldn't recommend you to do, but if you withdraw it and move it into CDs, then yes, that all comes to you as income. If it is not IRA money, And first of all, if it's IRA money, you can still move it to CDs without withdrawing it. You just open an IRA at a bank and move it over there and put it in CDs. If it is investment money, the only tax consequence is on the capital gain. So if you have a stock that you have, a $5,000 gain on, then you will pay a 15% capital gains tax on that gain, if that gain is older, if you've had the stock more than a year. So the tax consequence is not that big of a deal. I mean, you're paying a 15% capital gains tax, but you're making money, and yeah, you got to pay a little tax on it, but it's still worth doing. So I would, you know, don't not do anything or do anything based on taxes, unless it's IRA money, then you don't want to take it all as income. But again, you can just roll that into another IRA at the bank and use it in CDs. So having said that,
IRA money, as he gives it to, as I'm allowed to take it, I don't take more than I'm supposed to take each year. And it's not, I wish I knew the exact amount, but I'm driving, I don't know. Okay, and then it's probably $230,000 sitting there, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I can't help you. I can't help you. I don't know what investments they have you in. I don't know. All I can say is if you're not going to lose sleep if it drops down and you have confidence in the person and faith in the person that they're doing the right thing for you, then I wouldn't worry about it. I'd leave it alone. But, again, I'm not making a statement about your investment portfolio. I don't know what you own. I mean, you could say, well, I have this stock, that stock, and this stock, and I would say, well, that's way too risky. I wouldn't have it. Or I might say, that's fine. I don't know. But I would do what your gut is telling you to do, because that's always right. So if you don't want to have risk and you don't want to have to see your 230 go down to 190, then put it in CDs. If you're only taking a small percentage for income, then you can still do that on the CDs. Thank you, Dee.
All
we'll
right,
be back
thank you so
after
much.
This. 844-707-5533. Oh, this is the end of our hour. How about it? 844-707-5533. Folks, we've got another hour left. If you've got to leave us, remember, all that you have is his. Let's be found a good and faithful steward. Have a great day. God bless.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.